together nicely. We still have some more work to do, but I'm just so thankful today that the Lord has brought us through that little trying period, and with a little patience and a whole lot of labor and many texts and phone calls and pastor running materials and being a general foreman or general contractor, it's all coming together, and I believe the Lord has blessed us, and I'm so thankful for that today. Amen. So we began talking about the growing church, and I want to continue that today, to continue to talk about that. It sort of goes with some of the vision casting the pastor did the end of 23, the beginning of 24. And I do believe that the Lord has great things in store for this church. And on the corner of Highway 18 and Spring Ridge Road, I believe with all my heart that the Lord has great things in store for this local congregation. Do you believe that today? Amen. I just believe that. And I think that as we begin, we're going to recap today lesson one, but as we continue on in the weeks to come on this train of thought, I believe that we should accompany this lesson series with prayer. And in our devotion time and in our prayer, your daily prayer time, let's begin to ask the Lord what he would have us to do to move forward in growing this local congregation. And ask the Lord to lead us and to guide us to some hungry souls. And amen. And I believe that the Lord has great, great things in store for us. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Lord, we thank you today for everybody that's here. We thank you for all the people that may be tuning in on Facebook or YouTube. Well, we ask you today that this local body, this local congregation, God, that we would, Lord, continue in faith, to continue to grow in love, Lord, to continue, Lord Jesus, the work of the kingdom on the corner, this corner of the highway in this section of the county. God, we ask you today that you would bless our efforts, Lord Jesus, to help us see a harvest of souls. God, we're not here, Lord, just to grow our own kingdom, but we're here to grow the kingdom of God. Help us today, Lord, as we study your word together. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and receive your word. Help us, Lord, to take these lessons, Lord, into our spirit, Lord, that we may grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen, amen. The growing church. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we find that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he begins in chapter 1 to commend them on their growth. So you may or may not recall, Thessalonica is one of the churches that Paul founded after he had answered the Macedonian call from Acts, the 16th chapter. If you will read that, verses 6 through 10, you'll find that Paul and those that were with him desired to do another labor of love. They desired to do some missionary work in what the Bible calls Asia, the area of modern-day Turkey and that general region. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost forbid them, and then Paul, in a vision at night, received a vision of a man from across the sea in a place called Macedonia, and he was beckoning him, please come and help us. And so Paul, being led by the Holy Ghost, went to, no doubt, they took a journey, went on a missionary journey, if you will, went to Macedonia and began to found churches. And one of these churches was the church at Thessalonica. And so we find here that Paul has already went to Macedonia. There's been a church founded in this community, and now Paul is writing this letter to them. And in chapter 1, he is commending them for their growth. Verse 2, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. So it's always important to pray for one another. Can the church say amen this morning? Amen. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And we'll come back to verse 3 later. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So, the election of God. Y'all remember what we said the election of God is? Somebody. Brother Nate, help me out this morning. What does it mean by election of God? Perfect. Perfect answer. It is a calling. The election of God is a calling. So we're not just in this because we just happened to stumble into an encounter with Jesus Christ. We're in this because, by intention. There's a purpose that we are here. We are called. We are the elect of God. What does that mean? That means the Lord chose us. Amen. I firmly believe that the Lord loved us long before we ever loved Him or knew about Him. Amen. I believe that the Lord called us. It's not just happenstance that you are a member of this local congregation. Amen. It is because you were called of God. We are called, amen, according to His purpose. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So when we were talking about verse 5, we talked about how it's not just hearing the word of God. Amen. The gospel isn't only about hearing the word, but it came to us in power. There is a demonstration of the Holy Ghost and Spirit-filled believers. Amen. And it's brought about by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Acts 1, those that were gathered together to watch Jesus ascend into heaven, they were told to go and tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. And it's that power that enabled them to be witnesses. It is the power of the Lord that helps us perpetuate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the power of the Lord that helps us to propagate in the field that we are planted in. Amen. We are here working in the field that the Lord has given us in this local community and this local congregation, and we are empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have to be in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost. So we are followers, amen. So the Lord has put people in our lives. He has set up a structure, the fivefold ministry. We have a pastor, amen. Occasionally we have evangelists come by and prop us up, or build us up, I should say, in our faith and preach the word of the God to us, amen. There are ministers of all shapes and sorts. There are teachers, amen. So there is a system that the Lord has put in place, and we are following the Lord as we follow our leaders. Amen. And here's something that I didn't bring out previously that I do want to mention as we go through this recap this morning. You have received the word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost. With joy of the Holy Ghost. Let us never become bitter and beat down and worn out when we are tried, when our faith is tested, when we are tried, because it is with joy, amen, that we serve the Lord. The Lord's commandments are not grievous to us, amen. We should count it pure joy in the trying of our faith. That's what James said in James, the first chapter, verse 2 and 3. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That means various types of trials. When your faith is tested, when you are tried, count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That means it develops patience. The more you are tried, the more you are tested, the more your faith is, your patience continues to grow. Amen. And it takes patience. It takes endurance to make it to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. It takes patience. But let us not forget that it is to be joyful. A scripture that I love very much, Nehemiah 8 and 10. They had just rediscovered the word of God. And the prophet, it was recorded in this book, the prophet said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. We have to be joyful. We have to be joyful in serving the Lord. I believe it's the will of God for those that are filled with His Spirit. When we're in trying times and hard times, we should maintain a cheerful disposition and attitude. It's not always easy to do, but it's the will of God for us to have a smile on our face and love in our hearts. Amen. Count it all joy. count it all joy. Verse 7, so that we are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So we are examples to all that believe. Amen. I believe that the world is watching us. I also believe that fellow believers are watching us and get from us. Amen. We Brother Noah, when I see your triumphs, when I see how you're growing in the Lord, amen, it's an example to me. It builds up my faith. Amen. When I see how your faith is tested and you overcome, and I say, well, you know what? Brother Billy can do it. I can do it. Brother Nate can do it. And the Lord blesses him through his trials and tribulations. The Lord then will bless me. So we are examples for all to see. Amen. I want to go back to verse 3. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So remember, we are talking about the growing church. The growing church, the growing church. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Man, it is important for each and every one of us to recognize and acknowledge the calling and the work that our brothers and sisters are doing. Amen. There, as they often say, there are no I's in team. I heard a particularly narcissistic basketball player one time says, there's no I in team, but there is in win. That should not be our mentality in working for the Lord. There's no big I, amen, and little U's, as they say. But it is a very much a team effort, and we should acknowledge one another. Every one of us have a calling. Every one of us has something that we can contribute to the kingdom of God. And I like here that Paul is writing, giving thanks and praying for the work of the church that's this growing community in the church in Thessalonica, and he acknowledges their work and their contributions and the things that they do. Amen. It's very important that we keep in mind that it takes all of us to achieve what the Lord wants achieved in this community. It's going to take all of us working together. It takes all of us working together. We can't do it by ourselves. Amen. Can't do it by ourselves. It's very much a team effort. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Your work of faith. Amen. I like how that's phrased there. Work of faith. Did you know your faith, your walk of faith is labor? It requires working. It requires working. You know, this is not the only time that Paul has mentioned these three things together. Faith, love, and hope. Faith, love, and hope. It probably sounds familiar in the often quoted 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, which is the chapter on love, which falls right in the middle of Paul explaining to the church about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 12 and chapter 14, he's explaining about the proper operation and the giftings of the Spirit. And then chapter 13, he's explaining how the gifts of the Spirit operate in love. In verse 13 of chapter 13, he says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So again, in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, Paul mentions faith, love, and hope. These three things seem to go together. But it is a work of faith. A work of faith. Now, we're familiar with the gift of the Spirit, the word of faith. We're familiar with the terminology of your walk of faith, your walking in faith. But I remind us today that faith requires work. Faith requires work. In John, the 6th chapter, verse 26, John 6 and verse 26, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So these are the people that are following Jesus for the loaves and the fishes. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Amen. Even those that were hearing him understood that there was a work to be done. There was works to be done. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sent. So Jesus is still teaching and being introduced to people. He's trying to help them understand that he has been sent of God. He's the Messiah. And we don't have time to delve into the complete context of what's going on here this morning. But just understand that those that were experiencing the miracles of God, hearing the teachings of God, many of them, they did not know who Jesus was. And so Jesus is saying, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who the Father has sent. Now, this kind of reminds me of what I preached last week about the foundations of faith. You have to believe and receive. If any man come to God, he must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's believing and receiving. That's the foundation of faithfulness. But this, Jesus said, is the work of God, that you believe on him that he has sent. They said unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, the bread of God which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Amen. Jesus goes on to say that I am the bread of life. But there is a work of God. There is a work of faith that must be done. We have to believe. We have to believe. And we have to receive. You have to believe. You have to receive. Amen. There is a work to be done. Faith and work go hand in hand. James, the first chapter, verse 22. You probably knew I was going to go here this morning. Faith necessarily requires obedience. Faith is not just believing, but faith is obeying. There's a popular meme that Brother Shindall, Kevin Shindall, created with Noah's. Shows Noah's ark. What saved Noah? Was it faith or was it obedience? Now Noah could have believed that he heard instructions from God to build the ark. However, had he failed to act on that, would it have been faith? So what saved Noah? Was it simply believing, or was it believing and obeying? Faith is believing and obeying. Faith obeys the word. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, that's very common. We often believe, we've heard that oftentimes, have we not? Doers of the word, obeying. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, but look unto the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Isn't that interesting? Verse 25. Now, we often say we want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But sometimes we skip right over verse 25 that says we're to continue. Amen. We're to continue. Live in. Amen. We're to live in what we've heard, to do what we've heard. But we have to be a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. We have to continue to work and to build and to do. Yes, we have to be a hearer. Yes, we have to be a doer of the word. But we have to put the word into action and do the work of God. It is a work of faith. Can you say this morning, work of faith? Amen. We're talking about the growing church today. You can't grow without work, right? We have to be faithful hearers, but we have to be doers. We have to be doers of the word, doers of the work. Amen. We're going to skip over a little ways. Doers of the work. Faith proves itself how? By work, by deeds, by actions. James, the second chapter, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and if one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith in and of itself, if it doesn't have works, it's no good. It's no good. Amen. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, my faith is proven in the things that I do. Our faith is not proven in what we say. Can I get a witness from the church this morning? Our faith isn't proven by what we say. Our faith is proven in our actions, in our deeds, and how we act day in and day out, and how we serve the Lord day in and day out, by the choices that we make and by the things that we do. And that's how our faith is proven. It's not proven in me saying I have faith. It'd been very good for Abraham to have heard the Lord speaking to him to go into a land that he didn't know and say, yeah, I hear you, Lord. I'll get there one day. But that's not what accounted unto Abraham faithfulness. That's not why he was eventually called a friend of God. Why was he called a friend of God? Why is he known as the father of the faithful? Why is he faithful, Abraham? Because he obeyed and he did. Everyone that's in Hebrew in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is there because they were doers. They did the work of the Lord. It's doing. It's not simply saying, it is doing. He goes on to say, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20. But what thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Faith apart from works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought in his works, and his works, and by works was faith made perfect? What does that mean? Faith operated by his works. My. Faith operate. Can I tell you today, faith operates in works. You know how you see somebody that's full of faith? They're full of works. Because they do things, because they don't do works to get faith. Their faith, their works is the proof of faith operating on the inside of them. Faith without works is dead. So see how that faith operates in works, and by works was faith made perfect. What does that mean today? It means by faith, amen, by his actions was his faith made complete. Abraham had already journeyed all the way from Ur, all the way to Egypt, and back up into the land of Canaan. He went on this journey of faith. All these things had happened. He had seen, he had waited patiently for the promised son to arrive, Isaac, and still his works, his faith had to be proven. And when the Lord saw that he was willing to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice, of course he stopped it, but he says, now I know. Amen, now I know. his faith was tried. Amen. Our faith is going to be tried, and we will be, our faith will be proven in the works that we do. It is a work of faith. Everybody say it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. I must hurry today. John, the 15th chapter. We're not going to begin reading with verse 1. We'll skip down a little ways. Let's skip down to verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen. If we're going to abide or remain in the love of God, we must keep his commandments. It's a labor of love. We have to abide. These things have I spoken, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. It is a labor of love. Amen. If we're going to labor in the love of the Lord, we have to be obedient. Amen. It's faith. Faith, hope, and love are always tied in together. Faith, hope, and love. And this is a labor of love. Amen. This is the labor of love, that we keep the Lord's commandments, and his commandments are not grievous to us. Amen. It's a good life living for the Lord. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 9, says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. If you are serving the Lord, amen, if you are putting your faith in action, it is a work of faith. If you are doing it as unto the Lord in love, and you are serving others in love, it is a labor of love. And what I love about all that, you need to know this, God is not a forgetful God. Amen. He honors people that serve him. He honors people that live according to his word. He honors people that walk and work in faith. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. Everybody say hope. Hope unto the end. Faith, hope, and love, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Amen. We're talking about patience of hope. I remind you of the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Patience and hope are inseparable. Patience and hope are inseparable. Amen. We are followers, amen, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. He swear by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he patiently endured, that means waited, he obtained the promise. Our patience and our hope is that one day there will be a reward, there will be a just reward. And if the Lord doesn't rapture the church, if we go by the grave, we have this hope. The same Spirit that raised Jesus up is one day going to resurrect us. We have this hope. Our hope is the eternal, everlasting life that is available to those that believe and follow after Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. The growing church operates in a work of faith. A growing church operates as a labor of love, and a growing church has patience of hope. Lamentations 3 and 26 are a favorite verse of mine. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. hope and quietly wait. It is a quiet faith sometimes. It's a quiet kind of faith. Amen. Patience is something that sometimes it can be hard when our faith is being tried, when we're being tested, when your church pipe breaks out here and you don't understand why and you seem like you had some momentum and the thing floods out. Amen. It was just two short months, but now at the closing end of this little trial of our little local church, our little faith has been tested. Our walk has been tested. No doubt pastor's faith or his patience has been tested. But nevertheless, on the other end of this, amen, we see that God was in it and that good things are coming about because of it. It's the same way in our lives. We are following after God. Amen. We're hearing the word. We're doing the word. We're walking in faith. We're working in faith. But we have to keep being patient. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. The growing church is a patient church. A growing church is a patient church. We're not just here doing this, building a kingdom, but we're building this up knowing that one day, amen, the Lord is going to call the church away, and that is our hope. We are patiently working in the kingdom of the Lord, tarrying till he come, tarrying till the Lord comes back to get the church. Amen. And we're here to build up this kingdom of God on this corner of this highway. And I believe that the Lord's hand is in it. Don't you today? And let's pray together. God, we thank you today for this local body of believers. We thank you for, Lord, the giftings that you've given to each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to continue this work of faith, continue this labor of love, and to continue to patiently wait for the hope of your salvation. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for all the labor of love that's been going forth. We thank you, God, for the witnessing that's been going on, the prayers that are going on, the acts of service and kindness that extend from this body of believers. Lord, I thank you today that we are salt and we are light. Lord, build us up, Lord, that we may become a more effective, growing church. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.